Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening. I apologize for the late start. This is LFC, Word Life Center, our Wednesday midweek service. We are broadcasting via Blog Talk Radio, and we are so blessed that you have joined in with us, and we will get directly into the service. With our servant leader. Amen?
Amen. Would that be me, overseer?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I wasn't sure. Well, I don't call no name.
Well, good evening, Blog Talk family. It is good to be a part of what God is doing in our community, and we will open up with two passages of scriptures, and we pray that they bless your heart. Just do a quick mic check. How do I sound? I'm pretty good. Can you hear me?
Yes, you coming through cloud and
cloud. All righty. All right.
Yes.
So we're gonna
all
look
right.
At... Cool. We're going to read Philippians 1 and 6, and then also Philippians 2 and 13. Philippians 1 and 6 out of today's Passion Version says, I pray with great faith for you because I am fully convinced that the one who begun this glorious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you and will put his finishing touches to it until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Philippians 2:13 out of the Amplified Version says, for it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work. That is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. Amen. Let us pray. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come before your throne of grace with boldness. Thank you that you are a God who both hear and answer our prayers. Thank you that you respond to the petition and the request that is made from us individually and corporately. And as we come together on this evening to celebrate the awesomeness of our amazing and phenomenal, superb, majestic, holy God, we take this moment to give you praise. We release the burdens of the day, the cares of life, all that would have attacked or attached itself to us, and we take this moment to give you glory and honor. We yield and choose to bless you with the fruit of our lips. We give you glory and honor and praise. We acknowledge that you are the supreme God. You are the only God. You are our Alpha, our Omega, our beginning, our end. You are our first, you are our last, you are our great amen, you have the final say, and we thank you for that. We thank you for being simply amazing, superb, majestic, holy, righteous, glorious, wonderful, and we honor you for it. We thank you that you are everything we need. You possess all that we need, and we honor you today. And we thank you for another opportunity to come together as a community, to come together as a family. We know that there's power in agreement. There's power in corporate prayer. And so we take this moment to gather together corporately to make a sound of thanksgiving, to release in the air your will, to sound an alarm, to blow a trumpet in Zion. And we thank you that you've given us that power. You've given us that authority. You've given us that right to administrate and legislate in the earth for your will to be done. And we decree and declare that today, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father. We decree and declare, like Abraham, as a community, we won't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but we are fully persuaded. If you said it, you would do it. If you spoke it, you would bring it to pass. We thank you for every word you have spoken over our church, every word you have declared over this body, every word you have released through the mouth of prophetic voices. We honor those words, and we decree and declare the word of the Lord that says we believe in the Lord our God, but if we believe his prophets, we shall prosper. And we pray for the prospering of the word that has been spoken over our apostle, to our apostle, through our apostolic house, through this prophetic voice. And we honor you today that those words are coming in divine alignment. We touch and agree with those who are on this Blog Talk call today, and we agree that they're families are healed, that their bodies are healed, that their minds are healed, that their souls are healed, that their hearts are healed. We decree and declare a shift and a turnaround in their homes, on their jobs. We thank you for releasing them. We thank you for providing for them. We thank you for going before them and making their crooked path straight and their rough places smooth. Reiterate the word of the Lord according to Paul. We pray for our church. We pray for those who are listening with great faith, because we are fully convinced that you who begun a glorious work in them will be faithful to continue the maturing process, and you will put the finishing touches upon us until the unveiling of our Lord and Jesus Christ. We thank you and declare Philippians 2:13 that it is not our own strength, but it is you who's effectively at work in us, both to will and to work. That is strengthening us. God, I pray for strength today. I pray for individuals who have grown weak through the warfare process, who've grown weary through the waiting, who's grown disappointed through the delay. I ask that you would energize in them, and today that you will create in them a new longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for your good pleasure. I pray the word of the Lord that says, may the eyes of their understanding be enlightened and open, that they may come to know the hope of their glory. They may come to know the hope of the calling that relies in them and within Christ Jesus. God, I pray that they would not look to their present, but they will look to the author and the finisher. We will look to the future that lies ahead. For Paul declared, these afflictions are light. They don't compare to the weight of the glory. They're not in comparison to the eternal gift that we have, the eternal life we will live, the eternal life we have received as a result in believing, as a result of making the confession with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, and the belief in our heart that Christ has been raised from the dead. Father, we decree and declare a cease and desist order in the realm of the spirit against the enemy that is coming through affliction, soul wounds, Father, soul burdens. And we honor today what you are going to do. We honor today the word that you have spoken, and we decree for that word to take manifest. Father, we pray like Daniel. Daniel released a prayer, and the Bible said that angels was dispatched and declared that when he first prayed, you had heard him. And the warfare that was happening, the warfare that was taking place in the heavenlies had to come to a cease after 21 days, Father. And we thank you today. We thank you for what is being coming to a cease, what is ending in the realm of the in the warfaric realm today, as a result of us praying and agreeing and coming together and taking authority over every power, over every enemy, over every spirit, over every principality and power, rulers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And we honor and thank you for that today. God, we give you glory. We give you all praise. We worship and magnify you. We bless you. We send an atmosphere of praise and worship and adoration to our living God, to our God who is not dead, to our God who sits upon the throne, to our God who is eternal, to our God who is almighty. You don't lose. You never have lost a battle, and we thank you that you are El Kabora. You fight on our behalf. You are El Kadish. You are the God who sees and knows, and we have a confidence in you. You are our Rapha. You heal. You're not just a God who heals. You are the Lord of healing. You are the Lord of health. You created health, and we thank you and we praise you and give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We pray for our youth. We pray for young people who are struggling in school. We pray for our youth who is being attacked on every side. We lift up those. We lift up our generations, Father, and we thank you in advance for healing. We thank you in advance for deliverance. We thank you in advance for your righteousness. We thank you in advance for the things that you are doing and the things that you are going to do, Father. We thank you that you have given us the verbal technology, the ability through prayer to institutionalize the word of God and decree and declare what you are doing. We thank you that we are economical and we have the ability to pray over every generation and transcendental cultures. So we pray over our transless or our silent generations, those born from those born the 1945 and before. We pray over our baby boomers, those who born between 1946 and 1964. We pray over generational X, those who are born 1965 to 1976. We pray for our millennials or our generation Y, those who are born 1977 to 1995. We pray over our generational Z, or our centennials, those born 1996 to 2007, and we pray for our Alpha generation, those who are 2007 and under, and we cover them with the blood of Jesus, and we decree and declare for tides to change, for things to shift in the realm of the Spirit, even now, Father. And we take authority over powers and demonic forces that has come to do war, who has come to penetrate promises and to delay prophetic utterances. And we honor you today for what you are doing. We bless you in advance for what is happening. We stir our spirits and our hearts towards God. We don't look at our process. We look at our promise. We don't look at our pain. We look at our God, and we thank you that you said you will give us a garment of praise, Father. You will give us a garment of praise for every spirit of heaviness, Father, for every burden that has come to weigh us down, for every burden that has come, Father, to delay and to hinder us from moving forward, for to rob our belief, to rob our faith. And we honor and thank you for what you are doing, what has been done, and we are excited about where we're at and where we're going. We thank you for the warfare that is a confirmation that we are headed towards the promise, that we are climbing those mountains and taking authority and are going to rule in those places you have assigned us for. Thank you for the door that is about to open on this week. Thank you for the momentum that is about to happen on this week. Thank you for the manifestation and the maturation and the miracle that is about to happen this week for us corporately, collectively, and individually. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So we want to look at this concept of Luke. Let me find it. I'm sorry. So we want to look at Luke 19 and 10, Luke 19 and 10. And then we're going to also look at Revelations 18 and 1, Revelations 18 and 1. And then we're going to also look at Genesis 1 and start reading there. So again, we want to look at Genesis 1. We want to look at Luke 19 and verse 10. And then we're going to look at Revelation 18 and 1. So, you know, just so that I don't think I'm talking to myself, I know that we have our phones on mute, but every now and then I just need you to unmute and say something so we can make this interactive and continue to communicate what we believe that God would like to download in your heart today. So let's really go back to, well, this is what I want to do. I want to give you the four things that I want us to kind of talk about and then go back to the scriptures and tie them in. So Luke 19 and 10 says this, and we're going to look at it from the King James Version of the Bible. But Luke 19 and 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you look at some other translations, they're going to say who. They're going to also say the lost. But I want us to kind of focus on the King James, the original version of that particular word, because it said one of the things that the Son of Man came to do, and when we look at it within this context, we're talking about Zacchaeus, who the Lord had made a declaration that it was time to visit Zacchaeus. It was the hour for God to enter into Zacchaeus' space. And that's important because I want us to hear that prophetically we really are in a time of visitation. And even though it may not feel like it, even many of us may feel the absence of God, really not understanding the season that we're in, Zacchaeus gives us this prophetic confirmation that it is time for God to visit us. And to visit us in a way that we've not had before, to embrace, as we had started this journey, this new wine being poured into us. And so I want us to look at it from both perspectives. It is a time of visitation, so we want to expect God. But during a time of visitation, we also need to be positioned to be visited. God is a gentleman. He does not invade. He does not bogart. He can invade our space, but he don't just knock our doors down. And so I want us to position ourselves for visitation, but also position ourselves to be visit. You know a good house guest is coming. I'm old school. You didn't come to Connie's and George's house nasty. We had to clean up, make sure guests was out, and et cetera. So we prepare for this visitation. And I want us as a community, as a body of believers, to begin to have that mindset. God, we look for you to visit us, but God, we look for you to visit us. So I am in preparation for this kind of visitation. And so the scripture says in Luke 19 and 10, Christ visits Zacchaeus and he makes this declaration. He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And I want us to look at that from this perspective. He didn't identify who, he said that. And we're not a that, we are a who. So what is it that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost? And so that is the four things that I want us to write down, to begin to meditate on, because I believe that that is our level of restoration. So the four things that we want to identify that the Son of Man came to restore or to came to seek and save that which was lost was, number one, our original state. Number two, a mentality. Number three, the place of dominion and power. And number four, a relationship with God. So the four things that we want us to look at that Jesus came to restore was, number one, our original state, number two, a mentality, and number three, a place of dominion and power. And number four, relationship with God. So that's when you take your phone off mute and somebody repeat it back to me so I know you heard.
Amen.
Okay, no, repeat it back to me. Okay.
Okay, that's it. The first one is to restore our original state, a place of dominion, a mindset, and intimate relationship.
Right, a place of dominion and power. Dominion and power. All right.
Okay, dominion and power.
Yes, a place of dominion and power.
A place of dominion and power.
Amen. Very good. All right, so let's look at Genesis 1, and let's identify that particular passage of scripture. So let's look at Genesis 1, and we're going to look at, I'm sorry, I just lost it. Let's look at verse number 27, Genesis 1 and 27. No, but Genesis 1, verse 26. Let's start at 1:26. Genesis 1 and 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the earth and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Number 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. In verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth and every tree in the which is the fruit of tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat." Verse 31 says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning was the sixth day." So when we look at Genesis, we identify how God created man in his image and after his likeness. And not only did he create man in his image and after his likeness, he gave them dominion. He gave them power. And we're familiar with the reality that man walked the earth. Everything that God did, man had the ability to do. God said, let there be, and it was. Adam said, let there be, and it was. And so we understand the original state in which God created man. Then we know the story of the fall. Well, then Jesus then comes upon the scene, and according to Christ, his declaration is to, number one, restore man back to that original state. Us seeing ourselves, number one, in the image, not just as the image, but seeing ourselves in the image of God, seeing ourselves in the image of the Creator. And I think oftentimes what happens is we keep trying to compare. We're trying to see ourselves as, and when we are hidden in, we are hidden in the image of Christ. We are hidden in the image of our Savior. And when we understand that because of who Christ is, what Christ has done, the deal is sealed. That is the place of rejoicing. And we have been restored to that image. We have been restored into that place of who God created us to be, who God original state that he sees. We've heard it before. We've made the confession. When he see us, he sees the blood. When he see us, he see everything that Christ has done. He see the work of the cross. And why is that important? Why is it important for us to have that image of who we are? Because when we know that image, when we have that facial recognition, it unlocks things inside of us. It gives us that power to take authority over everything that is alive of the image that God has created you to be. You know, when we think about this technology, these iPhones and things of that nature, to have these facial recognition or these thumbprint recognitions, it recognizes the image. It unlocks what's on the other side of it. And I want us to begin to take authority again and see ourselves in that image and understand what is being unlocked as we do it. What starts to happen when we begin to operate in the image of who we were created. Then number two, we believe that God has come to seek and save that which was lost. The original mentality, or I like the way that Overseer said it, a mindset. Paul said it this way. He said, let this mind in you also be in Christ Jesus. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you will present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of service. It is our reasonable act of worship. And then that verse number 2 declares what? It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so it then becomes a mindset. We have to intentionally and purposefully renew our minds. We have to be intentional about it. We have to do it on purpose, and we have to do it for a purpose, so that we can then begin to have that mindset in which we were originally intended. Think about it. Position yourself in the garden where Adam had no, the only thing he had was a voice. The only thing that he had was this intimate relationship, and had to trust, rely and completely depend on the purposes and the plans that was happening before him, to walk around in this garden and to name animals and to not have this kind of fear. There was a mindset that he had to possess and walk in order to live out the assignment and the duty and the mandate and the command and the power that was upon his life. And that is the same mindset that we have to have. And we look at Zechariah, when we look at Christ visiting his house, there was this mindset that Christ was also challenging Zacchaeus at that time, that he was renewing him to this gospel, this kingdom message that Christ came to deliver, and not only to deliver, but to live out. And so it was going to take a new mindset for Zacchaeus to operate out of that kind of power, to operate out of that kind of new trajectory that Christ was taking them to. And it's going to take a renewing of our minds. It's going to take a renewing of our spirit. because we have been under battle. We have been under warfare. We have been under attack. We've been under this delay. But we've even been in just a promise. You know, he told them in Jeremiah 29:11, it ain't happening to the end of the 70 year. And so when that time of release comes, there was a level of Israel that did not move forward because they had already developed a Babylonian mentality. They had already developed a captivity mentality. And so when the time of freedom came, when the opportunity to be released and to move forward into a promise that was set before them, before they went in, there was a group who never came out because their mindset had never changed. And we can get caught in a captivity mindset. We can get caught in a mindset that was lost. He said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And what if we are walking around with a lost mentality? What if we're walking around with a captivity mentality and not seeing that the trajectory of where we're at has to change, or the trajectory of where we're at can change? Some of us know it can, but don't see it changing. And some of us know it has to change, but we can't change it. And so there's a mindset that I believe Christ has also come back to restore to us as it relates to our other four things, even as it relates to the next four, which is what? Number three is that place of dominion and power. And I want us to hear that, because you can have a dominion but not operate in the power. You can have the power and operate in the dominion. I've used this example. It's an old one. I don't know if this may be familiar to some people. There's two type of people who can have a gun in their hand. You know, a gun in a police hand is different than a gun in my hand. Depending on the situations and circumstances, that policeman not only has the power, but he has the authority to operate. He has the power and the authority to use that. And so it's some of the same thing with, you know, we have the power, and we also have the authority, and we also have the dominion. And Christ came to restore us back to that place of dominion. He came to restore us back to that place of power. And we understand that we have that dominion, we have that power to tread upon serpents, to tread upon our circumstances and our situations. Remember what God declared to Israel. He said, I'm going to bless your bread and water, and I'm going to take sickness from among you. I'm not going to allow it to be in your camp when all the other camps around you are dying off, are being afflicted. He said, I'm going to step in your camp, and you're going to know me as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God who healeth thee, but not just healeth thee. How do I heal thee? Because I take the sickness from among you. I don't even allow it to be attached within the camp of who you are. And so when we come to understand that Christ came to restore that level of dominion, that level of power upon us. The dominion says the weapons form, but the power says they do not prosper. They don't have authority or rule over us. And then also he comes to restore what? Our relationship with God, that intimacy, that oneness, that level of the cool breeze of the day, that we are in constant fellowship, relationship with God. He come to seek and save that which was lost. And oftentimes what happens is we look at sin in a different perspective. We know that sin simply means what? To miss the mark. And when we talk about missing the mark, it was a archery word. And so when Paul utilized it, it came out of the mindset of Olympics, meaning that they simply missed the mark. And how do they miss the mark? Oftentimes they miss the mark because of their strategy. They was using the wrong strategy. And so what if we look at sin as the mismanagement of strategy? Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. But what if the kingdom message is about restoring a new strategy? What Christ was ultimately challenging Zacchaeus was, this is the new way to live. And what if that's what's wrong? We're not living in our original state. We're not living within the mindset that Christ has placed before us. We're not living in the place of dominion and power, and we're not living in right relationship with God because we are all caught up in sin, whether sin that has manifested in sickness, sin that has manifested in the mismanagement of strategy. Sin is living in the wrong strategy. Sin is not just a character flaw. It is ignorance. It is blindness. So you're in sin because we're worried when God clearly has declared he's going to take it all. He's going to take care of it. Sin comes to blind us. What if we are operating out of the wrong strategy? And when we talk about being saved, we don't want to look at it just from a religious perspective. We want to look at it not that God is just rescuing us from wrong. What we want to look at it from the perspective that being saved is God revealing or restoring the strategy. Here's restoring how we should rightfully live, how we should align ourselves and live out his purpose, his divine plan and purpose for our lives. So sin is missing the mark. Sin is living in the wrong strategy. Sin is not just a character flaw. It is ignorance. It is blindness. It's not understanding, like we said earlier, Jeremiah 29:11, you are free. You are released. You have no longer have to live in the captivity of Babylon. Your 70-year sentence is up. Now go. Go rebuild. Go be healed. Go live. Go enjoy the fruit of Jerusalem. Don't look at the destitute land. Don't look that there's no wall. I will be your rock, your fortress, your shield. I will build you up. I am doing this study just talking about God and his name and how he wants us not only to be in relationship with him, but to be in relationship with his name. Because to be in relationship with his name produces within us a character of who he is. And when we come to understand, so when God said to Israel, he said, I am your rock, I am your fortress, that had a meaning. They understood that he was a wall around about them, a protector, a keeper. And so they had to come to know God as the rock, what it meant to be a rock. And that is the same way with us. We have to come to understand the character of God that means to be a shield and a protector, a keeper, and a fortress. And so I am declaring over us today that God wants to restore the strategy. He wants us to have a new mentality as we are moving forth and beginning to see him do what he has promised for us. We can no longer be blind. We can no longer be ignorant to who we are. We can no longer be ignorant to the mindset of how we can operate in the authority and the plan of God. He did not just come to save us from hell. He came to give, he came so that we can release the will of the Father that is originally written in the heavens to be produced in the earth, so that the kingdom of this world will and can become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he shall reign forever. That is our mandate. It is our mandate to see the kingdom of God come into this world. Amen. All right,
amen.
Let's look at Revelation.
Amen. Amen.
Let's look at Revelation 18 and 1, and then we're going to be done and kind of open it up for conversation and feedback. All right, so I want us to look at Revelation 18 and 1 from the mindset that we're just talking about. We're talking about being restored to this original state, the four things that he wants us to restore, the four things that Christ came to restore is, number one, our original state. Number two, a mindset or mentality. Number three, places of dominion and power. Number four, our relationship with God. We are in right standing in relationship with God as a result of what Christ has done on the cross. We are headed towards a new strategy of living, because we most of us, because of the strategy we know, you know, it's hard to break some of those strategies. You know, we as a society, we come a long way. Remember, there was a time that, you know, African Americans, we didn't get counseling. What happened in our house stayed in our house. That was a mentality, right? But look at how strategy come. Now we see that individuals within our community are becoming counselors, are becoming therapists, are becoming psychologists and psychiatrists, and people in our community are going. You know, there's a mentality within the church. You had to wear certain things. You couldn't do. So we're seeing these new strategies that are revolutionizing us and causing us to walk in a greater relationship and a greater perspective of who God is. So let's look at Revelation 18 and 1, and let's break that down from this perspective. So it says, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was light with his glory. Look at that. The earth was light with his glory. That's what we need. And he cried mighty with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations, look, have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed riches through the abundance of her delicacies. So look what he's saying. He's saying that there comes this great light that's coming down with this glory. And this light is now revealing. Look what has happened. He said, look what's happened. People have been drunk of the wine of her wrath of her fornication. The kings, those in authority, have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth are all waxed through the abundance of her delicacies. We took the matrix pill. We're believing the lie. We bought into the system of poverty. We bought into the system of pain. We bought into those kind of systems. We're all drunk with her wine. Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye may not be partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues. So that is that what we're talking about. Christ has come to call us out of her, call us out of the lies, to call us out of those delicacies or those fornications. You know, it's impossible to keep your virginity. That's just a drunken lie, right? We throne of her delicacies, a man we can't raise safe children anymore. We've drunken those delicacies. We've bought into the lie. We've been plagued with those things. But then there's coming this visitation that's simply saying, come out of her. And what if that is these new strategies that we're talking about? That is us being restored to our original intent. You can be holy. You can live an honest life. You can operate within the marketplace and not have to buy into the lies. You can have successful Christian businesses. You can be a successful Christian psychologist. You can have successful Christian organizations. We can raise God-fearing, loving children in this world system. They do not have to be drunk of the rap or the fornication, because we are responding to the voice that is saying, come out of her. You can be afflicted with sickness and pain right now and still rejoice. You can be just as happy, and just enjoying the Lord in spite of all the pain, the circumstances that you are going through. And so we don't have to drink of that wine. We don't have to be in the abundance of her delicacy. Verse 5, for her sin have reached unto heaven, and God have remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled to her double. Number 7, how much she hath glorified herself and lived delicacy, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I sit a queen. Look, she said in her heart, I am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. I'm excited about that. I'm excited that that which has been plaguing us, who said, I'm no widow, who said, I won't see sorrow, greater is our Lord who judges and looks at the wrath of this, who looks at the wrath of this great Babylon, this great fallen. And I want us to be excited. I want us to have that mindset of, well, that what we're seeing was not going to always be, that even now we are coming out as a community. We are coming out as a body. We are coming out corporately. We are coming out of individually. And we really will be we really will receive this new wine and to this new, we really receive this fresh wine and these new wine skins. God is changing. He came to seek and save that which was lost, that mentality, that original state, that place of dominion and power, and that relationship with God. Amen? All right. So now we just want to open it up. We have about 5 minutes that we can just talk about it. Anyone wants to share, give feedback, ask questions, reiterate, and just kind of develop a conversation based on all that we've said over the last 40 minutes.
Prophet, this is Katie.
Amen, evangelist.
One thing that I saw in the scripture you just read, the Revelation, was it was kind of, the scripture was kind of overlaid with the process of Lot coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah. That was one thing I saw in that specific scripture, and I just changed the page. What did I do? Here's the page. Okay. So as you were reading specifically that part that said come out of her, that scripture just kind of overlaid with Lot's process of coming out Also with his wife looking back and basically mourning for where she had been, as opposed to looking forward to where God was taking her. The portion of scripture that says it all happened in an hour. So, you know, it looks like it's going to be sudden, but there was a preparation for it because God had sent people in to bring them out. And no sooner than they had come out, God's judgment was quick. So it just, you know, kind of seemed like it was really quick. You know, but there was a preparation that had happened beforehand because he had to send somebody to tell them to come out. And then when they came out, then it happened quickly. That was the one thing I saw there. And wow, you said a lot.
Amen.
You said a whole lot. But I'm looking forward to this to this four-step process here. I kind of looked at it as a roadmap, remembering the Son of Man came to seek and save, to restore, looking for the change in mentality, looking forward to having a restoration of dominion and power where we've given it up, where we forfeited it, or whatever happened to it, and also to the next level of relationship with God in this process. I'm inspired today.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anyone else would like to share before we make some few announcements and end in prayer?
I definitely, as you pulled it all together, had a broadened perspective of sin's hidden agenda or innuendo or whatever you want to call it. I thought it was very interesting. Not the twist, but the revealed revelation just another aspect of sin and how this strategy are often a result of delayed exchanges of wineskins. So while we're trying to figure it out and you know, consider releasing a wineskin to get a wineskin, it's in that in-between time that a strategy is released. And because we're trying to assess if that strategy is of God, we miss the wineskin. And as a result, we think that was just phenomenal.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, at least that's how I saw it.
Right. Because so often I think we think of sin in a very generic way and figure I don't do it. And yet when you relate it to misstrategy and ignorance and that sort of thing, then it makes it clearer, the picture of how God sees what we do and how offensive that would be to him, and as a result, it is sin.
Even when we allow people to pigeonhole us or trap us in a wineskin, we've been talking about wineskins, let go of them. But as you were speaking, I guess I began to look how many people are trapped in a wineskin because that is the hidden or the unspoken or the made very clear expectation that you do A, B, C, like D, E, F.
Like
okay?
A, B, and C.
Okay, and so as a result, you may even see that as being prophetic or inspired by God. And it's really, as you and Overseer just said, Ignorance, mis-strategy. And so thus, you are actually practicing the pronounced sin that somebody has sent your way because you've lost focus or because you're out of ignorance. So you thought it was, and you did, and you've been practicing it, and it may have been good yesterday. It isn't even relevant today. So that was very insightful. Thank you, Prophet.
Amen. And I think it showed me how we often merge into not being intimate with God, but with one another. And so we become more involved in what others are saying, and we don't even seek to see what he is saying. And so even though we may pray, but we don't really study, we do not present ourselves to him and wait on him and receive what he gives us. And so it's that step of intimacy and that passionate step of really running hard after God, we've lost. So we kind of run hard after man and tasks and things and events and things to do and that sort of thing, but not really after him.
No, as you're an apostle was just talking, I can see more, and even as Minister Evangelist Katie was saying, that is us drinking that wine. You know, we're drinking that wine of Babylon. We're becoming drunk off of her strategies, off of her status and plans and where we should be, And even if we look at sin as blindness and it being Olympic targeted, here an apostle was saying, it definitely, I understand why the serpent went towards Eve first, because the scripture says she was deceived or she was blind, or blinded to the fact. And so when we look at it from that perspective, it was a missed strategy. They clearly understood the strategy of God, and began to operate out of a different strategy and begin to eat of the fruit. And then look how strategy changed from there. Now they're twirling from the ground, and we can kind of keep going on that way. But, yeah, definitely. Good. Well, thank you
Overseer said, listening to other people who can only release an insight at their place. And so we're in this missed strategy or practicing these subtle sins because we're taking counsel from people who their eyes have not been enlightened, we'll put it that way. And so while it sounds good and it sounds like they're in agreement and they understand and et cetera, the truth is they are equally, if not more, blinded than we are. And so with that in mind, where our eyes could have been open, they are being more dimmed by the lack of light.
Mm-hmm. And then really by the wine, drinking her wine. And
reheated moves of God.
You had quite a few people reheated moves of God in the water, not out. Huh? Oh, what did you say, prophet?
I was saying a reheated move of God. I was laughing at apostle. We just put it right back in the oven. Put it right back in the microwave.
There you go. Oh my goodness, that's horrible. But you really have quite a few people on the line, so the revelation is going out. It is definitely reaching the ears and the hearts of God's people. Amen.
All righty. Well, good. Excited that you were a part of our Blog Talk community family. Pray that you have received and are moving forward. We want to just remind you that until we get further instructions, our Wednesday class and worship will be spiritual growth and development will be on our Blog Talk. And so we do encourage you to reach out to others and to be a part. We want to stay connected as a family. There is definitely strength in the community. There's definitely strength corporately in the numbers. And so you definitely want to make sure if you're not with us on Sundays, you want to connect with us on Wednesday via Blog Talk. And again, we want to remind you that it is interactive. We want to hear from you. You can still register for CCTI, which is currently still taking place Mondays, starting Monday the 26th. The location will be announced. You don't want to miss the last Saturday of this month. If you are a man, know a man, invite them to come out and be a part of Man Cave, Step of Faith, Pastor Deandra Ford. We are partnering together to pour into men on that day. It is a free event, but we are asking that you are RSVP for your lunch and be impacted by the four powerful speakers that we will be having. Also on the 28th is Hope Institute and Seminar, Hope Institute and Seminary. Apostle Dr. Sylvester Brinson is having the graduating class of 2019 and celebrating 15 years. And then some of our upcoming things is a stage play by our very own Apostle Overton. We also having a prophetic revolution in Toledo, and then we don't want to forget our experience that is happening in November. So please reread the announcement, and then also in December, LFC Healing Worship Center will be hosting our AEN December Fellowship. So you want to be a part of those things as well. So reread the announcements. We have some wonderful, powerful things becoming. We are still on the move with the move of God and believing God for our building. It is still time for you to meet your building fund. Look at God gave you an extension. So get those money in. Ask someone to partner with you as we are heading towards a place that we will be. We are heading towards that place to move into our new position, and I'm excited about it. We will not go in with the old mentality. We will not go in the original state. We're going to walk in our new place of dominion and power and live in this intimate relationship with God that He is calling us to do. So it is an exciting time to be a part of Labors for Christ, Word Life Center, Labors for Christ Ministries, AEN, and all that God is doing in our community and in our family. Anything else, Overseer?
Just want to remind the people that worship service, this is a prophetic Sunday, starts at 4 o'clock in the Lord at the sanctuary.
Yes. And all of our services at 2:30. Yes. Sundays at 2:30.
The prophetic service starts at 4.
On the fourth Sunday, right. Yep. And then this Sunday service. No, this is third Sunday, right? 2:30, yep.
No, this is third Sunday. This is fourth Sunday, I believe. And next Sunday is fifth Sunday.
Fourth Sunday. It's the fourth Sunday? Lord have mercy.
Yes, sir.
It is.
It is.
Amen.
Three Saturdays and four Sundays.
Okay.
It's four Sundays. All right, gotcha.
Yes.
All righty.
Yes.
So this fourth Sunday is at 4 o'clock on the 22nd.
Yeah. Yes.
Praise Jesus. I'm glad you said something.
It was going to be a new strategy.
It definitely was going to be a new strategy. All right.
Let us praise God.
Amen. Yes. Let us close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we love you. We appreciate all that you have done. We thank you for everything that you are doing in our lives individually and collectively. We thank you for every divine alignment. We pray your continuous grace and power. Thank you for what you have put in our spirit, and we have an expectation for the change to come, and we honor you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes.
And
amen.
Amen. Amen. We'll see you on Sunday at 4 o'clock.
Amen.
All righty.
Amen.
Have a blessing.
You as well.